All right, let's go.
Hello, everyone. This is Don Cherry's Grapevine Podcast, and I learned something today, Dad. I said, sometimes we talk about what we're going to talk about, and last week we talked about points, and I said, let's this week talk about something that's near and dear to your heart as plus and minuses, and you said, you don't value it as much as I thought you did.
I know, I don't.
Because it seems like you're always talking when you want to praise someone. Well, he's plus 20 and he's plus 30.
I know. I sounds good.
It sounds good.
But you do not, for instance, you Donnie Marcotte, I say Donnie Marcotte or defense. And when you have a face-off in your own end.
Yes.
And, you change. You don't leave the same guys on. So, naturally, over 80 games, that's what we played, you're going to get more goals scored against you when you have face-off in your own end than you do.
And if he's a defensive guy and you're putting him on because you don't want to get scored on, his minus goes down.
And the other end, of course, my team, it had been possible. We had all those 20 goal scorers. I guess I did. I had defense for sure. Ricky Smith used to go on all the time, and I used to have him all. Come to think of it, I used to have him on. You know, Tim, I was thinking today, just to get off on a subject, if you don't mind, what defenseman did I play the most of all my coaching career? And you know who it was? You know who it was, Tim? In Rochester, Kenny Block.
Oh, yeah.
I used to play him the whole game. And one time he got a penalty. He said, the only reason I got a penalty is because I needed a rest.
He was one of those guys, though, that was effortlessly could skate, right? So he was never tired.
Yeah, and then he went to WHA, I think, after I left. And he was sort of not a rebel, but he didn't kiss anybody's arm.
So let me ask you, I mean, you say, he played so many long shifts and everything, and you hear so much about short shifts. And I always say to you, these players are supposed to be in tough and great shape, yet they, 45-second shifts? Are they really that tired after 45 seconds?
I was one of the first guys to come in with a short one, and I used to like the guy go 50 a minute at the top. I don't care how good you are. I don't think you 35-second shift. And, you know, they're all 37, 35.
I know. I can't. And even on the power play, they play 30 seconds on the power play, and they change the power play. And I'm going, I just don't get it.
Let me tell you about the power play. I know. So you have the number one power play.
Yeah.
Number one. And it is. And the number one power play, you have everybody on there.
You load up.
Load up for the first. And they change them. And they put the second power play on.
35 seconds into it.
Well, no, if it's 35, they usually leave a minute. And I've kept track. They leave them on a minute. So you take your number one power play off a minute. And you know, if you're there, you hurry. Because you know you're going to go off in a minute. The puck goes over the board.
So does the coach really think that these players will
be
tired?
That's the way it is, Tim.
Tired?
Tim, what do you think?
I just think the coach has to be with the times, right? Like, you can't leave. The reality is, on a power play, half the time the guys are standing around.
Exactly.
Right? So, like, you know, you're standing around passing the puck around. But I think that in today's hockey and sports in general, that if you leave your first power play on for 45 minutes or a minute and they don't get a couple of goals, the media is going to be all over you saying, oh, you know, you're tiring out the team and all that.
I used to leave them on. I remember, I don't know whether I told the story, but I'm going to tell it again anyhow. I used to leave on a power play, and Johnny Busick scored 500 goals in the National, over 500 goals. I think he's a director of travel or something for Boston right now. He's still with them. So anyhow, he was a crowd favorite. 500 goals, why wouldn't you be? So I left him on the power play for 45 minutes, a minute 45. And so I changed. He was the last guy on. He didn't come off. So during the stoppage with 15 seconds to go, I took him off and I put on my favorite, John Wensink. And ping, bang, bing, zing, bing, in the net, top corner, Wensink. And I have a picture of Bobby Schmatz turning to me saying, another genius move.
Oh, I know that pitch. Is that what he's, yeah, that's what he's saying. Referring to? So the next power play, did you play John, or did you put Busick back on?
Oh, no, you put Busick.
So basically, when you had a power play with the Bruins, you played the whole 2 minutes almost. Almost the whole 2 minutes.
A minute 45, and they never hurry.
They never hurry because they knew they had time.
We had over 300 goals.
Yeah, the only almost except for the first year, every year the only team that scored more goals than the Bruins was Montreal.
Is that right, eh? I remember Harry. Honest to God, I remember Harry sitting in my little wee office, and he's sitting where you are, Cindy. And he turned to me and he says, "You know, we scored 300 goals again. We're going to score over 300 goals again." He said, "How do we do it?" And I said, "I don't know." I didn't.
Yeah. So just to say, we got on this topic about plus minus. We kind of thing was last week. We said what players scored the most points from 2010 to 2009, and it was Kane, Crosby, Ovechkin, Giroux, Tavares, Malkin, Stamkos, Kessel, Wheeler, and Backstrom. And so, as you said, Cindy, some of those.
I wrote something down here. Do you want me? Do you want me to tell it?
Yeah.
Okay. Kane was 40 plus 45.
Yeah, so we went back for those things and we looked to see what was her plus minus.
Oh, yeah, Tim did. I didn't. And Crosby was plus 138. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. Ovechkin was plus 30. I mean, really, plus 30.
But you score 749 points.
Yeah.
And you're only plus 30.
Well,
so that means
you're on for an awful lot of goals.
He's
against.
On for, what do you say, Dad? No back checking or.
I don't know what. Giroux was plus 37. Tavares, he 715 points, and he was minus 3.
Yeah, but he was young then. Like that was his second year and stuff like that. So he was, you give him a little slack because he was pretty young.
Malkin had 693 points. He was plus 37. Stamkos 691. He was plus 36. Unbelievable. Yeah. Now, I'll read. Wheeler, 678 points. He was plus 59. And Backstrom, 669 points. He was plus 55. Now, the one that gets me is Kessel. 680 points. He was minus 83. Now, you know why that one really gets me? Is that he was always put on the opposing end.
Yeah.
And the other guys, I mean, they were pretty good hockey players. I mean,
like Crosby.
Think of Bobby Orr. What was Bobby?
But let me ask you something, Dad.
Yeah.
How could you coach a guy like Kessel? Like, could you, if he was with the Bruins and obviously didn't back check, didn't check.
Players would take care of him.
So you think the players would hold him accountable?
Doesn't he remind you a little bit of when you got Ricky Middleton, though?
Nobody was like Ricky Middleton.
No, Kessel and Middleton.
I remember when he had his night, and he said, and he gave me a shot, so I couldn't count. And you know the crowd, they all remembered.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really something like, they all remembered. He said, the problem with Don Cherry is he can't count. And everybody laughed. So I get up and I said, well, Harry Sinan said, and I'd seen Ricky in the American Hockey League. And I could see that he didn't, and so I get up and I said, well, the only thing with Ricky, I said, is that we had to introduce him. He said, you know, Ricky Middleton? I said, you sure do. He said, what kind of player is he? We were going to get him from New York in a trade for Hodge. We'll talk about that someday. And I said, well, he's good that way. And I pointed, you know, towards it. But I said, he's no good the other way. And I'll be a son of a, I think his first game he got a hat trick, did he?
Yep. We put him with John Rattel, and he got a hat trick.
So what am I telling him? The back check now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like a guy like Kessel, who sometimes, maybe not so much for me, is he doesn't check. Like some games, he just doesn't play. Like he floats. And Kane's kind of like that too.
Oh, you never do that with the Bruins.
Like, so who would say something to him?
Let's see.
Who would coach say? The Bruins. And
Cashman would be the first one.
Yeah.
Cash or Schmatz, and then Rattel would go to him, you know, and father figure. But it would be Cash would say something to him.
You know, what about Terry O'Reilly, who was the hardest working guy?
No, I don't know about Terry. He might say, he'd say something to me.
He might drill him into the board.
You know, he was a quiet guy. Anyhow, I thought that was very interesting. What was Bobby again? I forget. Was he
the 1 year that you had him? I think he was plus 128.
Yeah, 100 plus 128. Now that's plus 128. The 1 year. And unbelievable. Yeah. I mean,
just one other thing too, Dad. And then we'll kind of move on. We're talking about you with embossed coach of the Bruins and stuff. And Tuukka Rask, there's their goalie, and he's out with, he got a hip injury. He's out, and he's still not signed. Like,
yeah,
he's a free
agent. He'll be signed.
But he went out and he said that I'll sign with Boston. He goes, even if it's the league minimum, and they give me some free Bud Light. He says I'll sign with them, and. He goes, I'm not chasing. He goes, I want to play with one team. I want to play with Boston. I don't need to chase rings, and I like Boston. It just amazes me how many players just want, like Hall, Carlo, all those guys took haircuts to play for the Bruins.
Yeah, there's a lot of them. Pasternak.
He
said that he wanted to play with the Bruins. He took a haircut, as they said. Hall. I mean, he dropped from, I think he's making six, but still a lot. Carlo took a discount. Remember?
Yeah, oh, big time.
445. I mean, still a lot of money. And McAvoy, they all want to play in
Boston. I think it's the city. I love Boston.
I don't know what it is, but it's...
Because the fans aren't easy to play for.
No.
Because they know their hockey, though.
Yeah, but if you lose, they get on you. Remember what they did to Joe Thornton when he was a
rookie? Yeah, that was so unfair, too. See, they didn't know... Joe Thornton was the type of guy that played with, what did he have, broken ribs.
Broken ribs, and he played playoffs. Yeah.
And he never used that as an excuse, but and they never forgave him. Once they get on you, they used to get on Kenny Hodge. Remember how he used to get on Kenny Hodge?
Yeah.
And
Well, Boston knows how to treat their alumni, too, don't they? Don't they treat their alumni really
well?
Oh,
yeah, and they have a great alumni. And
You know,
it's a funny thing you mentioned that. I get from Kathy there, I think it's Kathy. I must mention her name because she does such a great job. I get more mail now than I did when I was on Hockey Night in Canada.
From Boston.
From the States. Well, not from Boston.
Maybe it's the podcast. I don't think there's another team that players like take less money to play than Boston.
No, you're absolutely right. I don't think I don't think there is another team. Well, no. Maybe Florida. Sometimes you want to play for Florida, but that's for a different reason. There's no taxes and lovely weather and all that, and it's not lovely weather in Boston.
And there's high taxes.
And there are high taxes there.
Oh boy,
but
are they high taxes?
Again, it's just it's amazing. It really is amazing. Like more like you would think Toronto or Montreal, but you know, no. Like some guys, like you know, Austin Matthews, he's going to be out of here so fast, make your head spin.
Yeah,
but,
Matthews will be gone. So
but. Boston and they're not, as like we said before, they're not easy fans. Boy, they boo, and boy, if they get on you, we talk
power about, play. They're tough on the power play.
Remember,
I think they
Don Zimmer when he was manager of the Red Sox. They called him Chiang Kai-shek.
Yeah, you couldn't remember it was Eddie. What was the talk show host there? It was so fantastic.
I can't remember, but like if you mentioned his name, he hung up on you. On a
or
show.
They hit a Kong, you know, and make a thing.
That's it. No, sorry, you can't mention. You can't mention
now.
His name. So.
So okay, Tim, tell us about Spread.
Okay, so spreads.ca. There
Canadian
are
Canadian Football League is starting. We gotta.
Yeah, we gotta mention that. I got some fans on Facebook gave me heck because they said football starting, and they said, "What do you talk about? The CFL's already started." So
kudos to them. Good, keeping you honest.
Right, and it's
on our toes.
Yeah, so. This is the spreads.ca. If you sign up using the promo grapes and you get 10 spins on the big wheel for some big dough and you get...
Why would anybody want to go to any other place?
Yeah, and then you get... they'll spot you at $25 on your first sports bet and they'll match your deposit up to, I think it's $200. But they have a special thing
coming
up for the NFL. So get this. This is...
NFL or CFL?
NFL. So this is the can't miss... This is the can't miss bet.
All right.
So after you sign up and use the promo Grapes, then you go to the sports section, mm-hmm. and there's a heading called Spreads Boost section, Boost, B-O-O-T-S. And at the bottom, you can bet that Aaron Rodgers, the quarterback for the Green Bay Packers, will throw at least 1 yard against the New Orleans Saints on September 12th.
Okay. Bank on that.
And it's even money.
Well, you can bank on that one.
Unless he runs out on the field and twists his ankle.
Yeah, I think his ankle.
That's good money. So they're doing that. So we just want to mention, we'll talk about the CFL next week.
I think it's more exciting. Don't you think it's?
I do. We used to occasionally go to the Bronco games. I never went to a Patriot game, but I went to the Bronco games. And sometimes NFL games, man, they are slow because they just want to run the clock out, and you can't do that on the CFL, right? They're constantly.
You could be down three touchdowns
with 5 minutes to go, and you still got a shot. So I do find it more exciting.
I like the bigger field. And they hit now. I'm not saying now, but they hit harder now than they ever did. I think
I liked when the CFL came up with on Seinfeld, my favorite show, Kramer. He loved the CFL.
And then next week, Dad, we'll talk about, of course, the women's championship is going on right now. Canada's kind of smoking along.
They're out shooting. You know, Tim, I'll say this again next week. I really believe they're making a mistake running, you know, with 60 shots, 67 shots. There's a way of a coach can do something like that. But I know they're trying not to score when they get up 7 goals in that. They don't want to beat them 15 to nothing or something. But too many shots. And, you know, people say, they're playing so-and-so today. But the other teams are getting better and better.
The Swiss beat the Russians. And the other day, the Japanese are up there now. They're playing. So, we'll talk about women.
Yeah.
As you said, Dad, we watched a little bit of the Canada U.S. game in Ego. I wonder if the U.S. are playing possum because they played awful.
I think they're playing possum, and after they're really praising the Canadians and that, and they're doing it again.
So odds are, knock on wood, they'll meet Monday, and we'll talk about it.
Yeah, we'll talk more about that.
So, Dad, one thing came interesting that caught your eye that you read in an article in the Toronto Sun that airline stewards and stewardesses are learning.
Flight attendants.
Sorry about that. That's politically incorrect now.
Faux pas.
Yeah, faux pas. Saying that they're learning how to fight because of all the craziness.
Well, they're protecting themselves.
Right. And like you see the one guy they duct tape guys to the chairs now. And the one guy, he was being rude and he grabbed a flight attendant. And the big male attendant got a roll of duct tape and duct taped him to the chair. And the other guys held him down. So you've had a few. You've flown a lot, and you've had a few run-ins in the skies.
I remember one. Two. I remember. I could go on and on and on, but the two I remember. Well, first of all, I'll tell you about Battleship Kelly. Battleship Kelly he looks like Clint Eastwood, doesn't he?
He's got that demeanor.
So I'll never forget this. I was sitting about two rows back, and. You know how they go by? You go by and they have a big tray of small liquor.
Liquor tray.
You know, I forget what they call it. Anyhow, they had all, and this great big woman, I never forget, she grabbed the whole thing and grabbed the liquor tray. Yeah, and pulled her right around. And it was sitting on her lap, and you couldn't get it off her. I mean, what do they do? Boy, she was big. I'm not getting up. And I can see this as clear as the bell.
Was she drunk?
She was feeling good.
Yeah.
She wasn't drunk. And so the stewardess couldn't do anything with her. What are you going to do? She was big. So they went and got the captain. Now, what the captain going to do? He's going to grab her? So I had, what in the world's going on? She's snapping the little bottles, drinking them, getting worse. Now, all of a sudden, get Bob Kelly. He walked from the back. He just walked up. And I remember him saying, "What's going on here?" And she looked up at him. He says, And the stewardess, or what do you call it?
Flight attendant
said, she won't give the tray back. He says, give the tray back now. And she gave the tray. I never forgot that. And you know, he didn't think
it was just like Clint Eastwood.
Yeah. Like he said when he had that guy down, and he says, okay, punk. Mary, he said, yeah. You feel lucky, punk?
Yeah, yep.
He said, you got, Mary, did I shoot 6 or did I shoot 5?
Yeah. Yep.
And he said, this is a 404 Magnum or whatever. He said, I'll blow your head off. He said, do you feel lucky, punk?
Kelly probably thought that the captain's better to drive the plane or pilot the plane as opposed to putting up with some drunk
I think he
broad.
Was just walking by. And he just says, what's going on here? The captain couldn't get the stuff off. Yeah. He just said it. Yeah. Okay, I'll tell you another story. I'm sitting there reading a book or something, and this is, you remember you used to smoke in the back, way in the back? You could smoke in the back.
Smoking section, yeah.
Yeah.
So this would have been, what, in the 90s, 80s?
90s, yeah. So I look over, and here's this guy comes up and sits on the rest thing, you know.
Armchair,
back across from me, and he's smoking. So the stewardess comes to him and says, you're not supposed to smoke up here, and would you sit on your seat? And he was a mean-looking guy. He really was a mean, and he hadn't shaved. And
so he wasn't, like, dressed up with a shirt and
tie?
No,
he didn't have a shirt and tie on, that's for sure. Well, I was the only guy that had a shirt and tie. So I'm sitting there looking at the guy, and he's talking to me, and he's mumbling. And
was he drunk?
No, he was feeling good. Wasn't drunk, because you can't get on a plane drunk. He was feeling good. So I thought, oh boy, this is good. And nobody said a word. And the whole plane was quiet. So she went and got the captain. Now, what's the captain going to do? He's going to be in a fist fight with this guy, and the guy wouldn't move. And so I'm kind of talking to the guy and trying to, you know, and all of a sudden, I see him turn his cigarette. He turns his cigarette. The glowing part is out, you know, and he's got it between his thumb. And I know he's going to jab it, and he doesn't like me. You can tell. A lot of people don't like me.
So you think he was going to butt the cigarette on him?
Oh, but there's no doubt he was going to butt the cigarette out of my face. And I'm getting ready. If he makes a move, all of a sudden, I see two great big hands grab him and lift him right off the thing. And I hear him being dragged at the back. Now, nobody looks, because they're all afraid to look. I mean, don't want to look at this guy. So I can't stand it much. I can't take it any longer. I got to know what the heck had going on. So I get up and let on I was going to the bathroom at the back, eh? And here's these two great big guys with shirts and ties on. And this guy is sitting, this punk is sitting in between them with blood running down his nose. And as I just kind of looked down at him, and one of the great big guys kind of winked at me like that. And nobody said a word. Everybody got off. And about 10 years later, a guy asked me, he says, do you remember the time? I said, do I remember the time? I guess I do. And he said, we were two detectives flying to Chicago. Yeah, we're going to Chicago. And he said, pick up a prisoner. And he says, we saw this guy was bothering you. Oh, boy. I said, was I happy to see you?
Yeah. Well, that's not the first time that you kind of run into somebody's helped you with the police. Remember in Boston, you had the FBI used to come after the Bruins.
I got to get this right now.
They used to skate.
Used to be a guy come in. In fact, he was with that.
If you watch the movie Black Mass about Woody Bulger, the FBI guy that was handling one of the guys that was handling Woody Bulger, the FBI guy, was the guy that came to you and said, "Can we skate after?"
Yeah, he said he come in the room and he said, "I have five guys," and he said, "Is it okay if we skate after practice? I know you have." I sure didn't matter to
me. What do you say to the FBI? No.
Yeah. No, he was great. He was a beautiful guy.
Irish guy, right?
Yeah, a big Irish guy. I'm not saying his name. And he had curly blonde hair, and he really looked good. So I never thought anything of it. So every week, or not every week, but every month, I used to get a thing about from Philadelphia, and it was, you know, a guy named,
in the mail. You got this?
Yeah, I used to get this guy. I knew this writing and everything. So this one, he showed me in a coffin. He used to have a chicken, usually, you know, a chicken in Boston Bruins. And this one was a little. He had a coffin, and he had a picture of me. And the whole deal, and he took
rest
a picture,
in,
you know,
in the coffin, and then
in the coffin,
because he was a Flyer fan, and
yeah, you know, death to Cherry and all that stuff, and in the
so as a joke, you hung it on.
I just hung it on. I never thought anything of it. So he came in after skating and everything, everybody left, and he said, "What's that on your wall?" And I said, "Well, I get that from all I get from Philadelphia all the time." And he says, "That's not a joke. That's a death threat." And I said, "Well, you know, it doesn't bother me." He says, "Well, it bothers me if I see it and I don't say." So they arrested the guy. Now you're saying, how in the world would they ever find out? And what happened was, they took it to the police or the
crime lab.
Crime lab, and they blew up a thing in the back, and it was like he got an award for him. He was a fireman. Imagine if he was just kidding. I think he was kidding, and it had he got an award and they got his name. I think he got arrested.
Yeah.
For
I remember you were saying that you told the guy, he's just joking and stuff like that, and he said, "I've seen that," and he goes, "And that's a death threat. You can't send that through the mail. That's a federal crime."
Yeah. Yeah.
And he says, "If something ever happened to you from this guy,"
and I knew it.
You know, I get in trouble. He says, so he goes, you can't do this. And
so they arrested the guy. Yeah. And that's how they found that. I said, "You'll never find out any." He said, "Well, we won't, eh?" And
you laid down the challenge, right?
Yeah, and they blew up the thing in the back. And
one that you were getting threats and all this, but and then they put their return address label on it?
Oh, I had one when I was with Hockey Night.
That was funny. Guy,
I won't name the muffler business, but he wrote it down on the muffler station wagon.
Or
the paper.
The stationery was stationery. From where he worked.
Yeah. Oh, I don't want to go into that stuff. But anyhow, I have a good time.
Well, the one thing, too, I just want to talk about, we just get off the subject there, but about the plane, was you were saying that you were with the Bruins and you were coming back and the plane was really, really rough.
Oh, we couldn't land in Boston. I remember that one. And we had to land in Hartford and drive back. That's a long story, too. That's the start of me getting fired. But anyhow, we're flying over, and the you can't believe the weather. We're sitting at the back. It's unbelievable. And I said, "Well, guys, if we go down, we go down in first spot." And they were all afraid, eh? And I remember Mike Miller, he said, "Yeah, with two games on hand." Well, next week, Tim, I want to talk about Mark Savard. And
He just got hired by the Windsor Spitfires to be the head.
He was assistant coach, wasn't he?
He was assistant coach for a while in St. Louis, and then they hired him in Windsor. We want to wish him good luck because he's a good guy. And
I played for Windsor. Al Arbor and I played in for the Windsor Spitfires, and I wish them. And they've got a good guy, and they've got a great coach. So, and Mark Savard.
Right. So we'll talk next week about the time that, unfortunately, there was that awful hit he took from Matt Cook. And then...
Oh, yeah. Never the same after.
Put him in retirement, basically. And then you met up with Matt Cook.
Yeah, you were showing me that.
Yeah. So we'll talk about that and a couple other run-ins that you had with hockey players on Coach's Corner next week.